Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And today's July 17th. And because of a computer glitch, today in the state of Louisiana is the state tax deadline. 2 days ago, July 15th, was America's tax deadline. And here in the state of Louisiana, because of a computer glitch, the Louisiana Department of Revenue extended the state deadline for all state taxes to today, July 17th. So I don't think this affects our tax cheat of a mayor here in New Orleans, Latoya Lataxta Cantrell, because she owes the federal government over $90,000 over the last decade. I don't know how she is with her Louisiana state taxes, but I don't know if anything has changed with her. It's just the principle of the whole thing. You know, some people who like Lataxta Cantrell, you know, they say the fact that she owes the IRS, the federal government, over $90,000, they say that shouldn't have anything to do with the job she does as the mayor of New Orleans. But the way I look at it is if I have to pay my federal income taxes, and if you're listening to the show and the station, I'm pretty sure you've paid your federal income taxes. I think most people who have to pay federal income taxes. Now, look, there's about half of this country who don't pay federal income taxes. And that's because they don't make enough money to pay federal income taxes. At least that's what they tell the IRS. But our mayor, for the last few years, she's been mayor, and before that, she was city councilor. Her husband is a lawyer, but the two of these people together, they give the IRS not one, but two middle fingers. They give them the double finger salute when it comes to paying their federal income taxes. And why haven't they gone after her more? I mean, think about it. Most people, if they have not paid their federal income taxes in 8 out of the last 9 years, and again, the only year she paid her federal income taxes out of those years is the year that she ran for mayor here and won in New Orleans. But her and her lawyer husband have they're scofflaws. They've gone out of their way not to pay federal income taxes. How does she get away with that? And not only that, but when she scolds people about things while she's mayor, when she looks into the camera and she shuts down businesses because of coronavirus, and then she when things started to reopen again, she didn't like the way the COVID-19 numbers were going, so she shut down bars again. Or at least told bars, no one can sit at your bar and drink, because that's how we understand COVID-19 is spreading. And not just bars, but restaurants that have bars in them and bars that serve food. They cannot sit at your bar. You can serve them to go. You could serve them curbside. And in some instances, the bars that do serve food, the restaurants that do serve bar, the restaurants that have bars, she could tell them, she could look and so stringently tell them, well, maybe you could set up something in the parking lot in this record-breaking heat.
Now, my favorite one, when she said she had a phone call with Mr. Rouse, or Rouse's, and told him he has to get his act together.
Yeah, Donnie Rouse.
Yeah.
All the great Rouse's supermarkets. I don't like what they're doing in there. Everybody in there is not wearing masks, so I had to have a phone call with him. I mean, again, here's a criminal. She's a criminal. People that don't pay their taxes, their federal taxes, over the course of a decade, they're criminals. And she's on the phone with these people, like, demanding what they do. And I know there are some people that say, look, the fact that she's a tax scofflaw and a criminal has nothing to do with the fact that she's in charge of a major American city, that she's the mayor of New Orleans, and being tough and being mad and yelling at people for not doing certain things. Well, wait, she's not doing certain things. Why can't someone from the IRS, why can't the federal authorities, federal law enforcement officers, knock on her office door at City Hall here in New Orleans one day while she's at work? You know where she is. Knock on her door at the City Hall, the Indian box, and say, we're coming to get you until you and your tax sheet bum of a husband, until you pay the over $90,000 you owe, we're coming to take you away.
I mean, there is some good news, though. They are making some progress over there at the Hard Rock. They're starting to move some rubble around and stuff like that.
You're talking about the partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel on Canal Street, not the Hard Rock Cafe that is open. Well, yeah. It was open on Bourbon Street. You're not talking about that.
Right.
Yeah, hopefully those two poor guys, dead bodies that have been in there for over 8 months, hopefully they finally get them out of that outdoor morgue on Canal Street here in New Orleans. Well, anyways, the state of Louisiana tax deadline is today because of a computer glitch. It was supposed to be 2 days ago, like the federal deal, but just trying to help here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Ozzy Osbourne there. And here in Ozzy, the other night I just rewatched it again, a documentary called Hired Gun. And one of the guys who's featured in there is a guy named Rudy Sarzo, who is a bass player, and he played for Ozzy Osbourne back when Ozzy put out his first album, and put his band together with Randy Rhoads, because Rudy Sarzo played bass in a little bar band in Los Angeles, the same band that Ozzy Osbourne got Randy Rhoads out of, the fantastic guitar player. And that band, they were called Quiet Riot. And that was before anybody ever heard of Quiet Riot. Again, that was before their huge album that had their hits on there. Quiet Riot was just a bar band in Los Angeles, and Randy Rhoads played guitar in that band, and Rudy Sarzo played bass in that band. And when Ozzy Osbourne came out with his first solo album after he was kicked out of Black Sabbath, Randy Rhoads, the guitar prodigy, the fantastic guitar player, he became one of the most famous guitar players in the world pretty much overnight. Again, before Ozzy, he was just in a very little-known bar band in Los Angeles called Quiet Riot, and Rudy Sarzo, the bass player, was in that band with him. So when Ozzy got... Ozzy and Sharon, because Sharon Osbourne, and again, this is before anybody knew her as well, she's the one who rescued Ozzy and said, oh, you should put together your own band. And he did, and he needed a guitar player, and Randy Rhoads was incredible, one of the greats.
Whatever happened to Black Sabbath?
Well, they got Ronnie James Dio, and they continued onward and upward, and there are some rock fans, Coleman, that prefer the Ronnie James Dio Black Sabbath to the Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath.
Oh, I got it. Like, I like the Brian Johnson AC/DC as opposed to the...
The Bon Scott, yeah. AC/DC. So, you know, we can go on about that. And you know, there are arguments to be made for those bands with both of their singers. But Rudy Sarzo came along, I guess that Randy Rhoads said, hey, you know, the band I was just in, they got a good bass player too. Why don't you grab this guy? And so he was in Ozzy for a little while, but he was only a hired gun with Ozzy Osbourne, meaning he was just put on a pay scale and different. And like I said, the reason I started talking about this is because I just watched that again a couple of nights ago for like the fifth or sixth time, and it's a fantastic documentary. Again, it's much like The Wrecking Crew, that documentary about all the musicians who played on so many incredible songs in Los Angeles that came out of Los Angeles from the 1960s and into the 1970s. And Rudy Sarzo, after being in Ozzy Osbourne's band for a little while, said, and after Randy Rhoads got killed in the plane crash, the plane that actually hit the tour bus that Rudy Sarzo was sleeping on, and it woke him up. It clipped the tour bus, and then it went in and hit a house. Rudy Sarzo said after that, he had a tough time playing with Ozzy Osbourne after his buddy Randy Rhoads was killed. And he said, I'm going to go back. I want to be in a band again and not be a hired gun. And then that's when he went back to Quiet Riot. And that's when Quiet Riot recorded Come On, Feel the Noise, and they ended up selling millions of albums. But he left. He was in Quiet Riot, a little-known band, left that band to go join Ozzy Osbourne with his buddy, Randy Rhoads, and then after Randy Rhoads died, he went back to Quiet Riot, and they made it. And he made a lot more money in Quiet Riot.
I would assume
because he was a part of a band that had a couple of huge hits and sold a couple of million albums. He made more money doing that than he was as just being Ozzy Osbourne's hired gun in his band, bass player. Anyways, I if you're looking for something to watch, that documentary, Hired Gun, is fantastic. Again, just like the documentaries, The Wrecking Crew, and just like the documentary Standing in the Shadows of Motown, all of those musicians, the Funk Brothers up there that played on all of the Motown songs, just great documentaries about musicians who were literally hired guns and got paid some money, but most people don't know their names, but most music fans have heard their work.
So one can say they were almost famous.
Yeah, another great movie we talked about last week on the show, on the 20th anniversary of that movie as well. Good musician stuff out there. Good musical stuff out there to watch. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, we started the show. I was talking about the great documentary Hired Gun. It came out 4 years ago, but if you're into rock music, it's a must watch. One of the guitar players in that movie is playing with Bon Jovi. Ever since Richie Sambora, that band's guitarist, left the band, one of the hired guns, again, was they interviewed him, and there's a lot of really good stories in there, and there's a lot of really sad stories in there too, with Billy Joel's band, his drummer, his bass player, his rhythm section. I'm not going to say anything, but you should watch it. There's a lot of good stuff in there. There's some sad stuff in there. Hired Gun, it's called, and it's for free right now on YouTube. You could just go to YouTube and you could watch the whole thing for free.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Yes! So if you've never seen it, I highly recommend it here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we all know over the last couple of months that police officers in the United States of America have been very maligned. It's been a tough time.
That's for a mild way of putting it.
For cops. Yeah, well, you've got different cities that are voting, their city councils are voting to defund the police, get rid of the police, and we're seeing it in cities all over the United States, including the biggest city in the United States, in New York City. Did you see what just happened up there over the last couple of days? There was a protest near the Brooklyn Bridge. And a fight broke out, and a few New York City police officers were beaten by people. I've never seen this before. As a matter of fact, a case of baseball bats, a big package of baseball bats, was dropped off right there, right before the fights. It's as if everything was planned, and people were taking baseball bats and hitting New York cops. Even the police chief was beaten. Did you ever think you would see the day in our country where uniformed police officers were beaten by just regular people?
That had to
by
be
by citizens.
Dude, because that's suspicious. I remember when the protests started getting, you know, riled up, people were dropping off bricks at sites where the protests were. Now you're saying they're dropping off.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show here, yeah.
And now you're saying they're dropping off bats by the Brooklyn, like a case of bats.
A case of baseball bats.
Somebody just
bats.
Happened to have a whole case of bats and just happened to drop it off where the police officer was getting beaten up by bats. Like, that's premeditated.
I've never seen anything like this before where people were beating, just regular citizens were beating police officers with bats. And what's interesting about how different cities are voting to get rid of the police. I mean, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the whole George Floyd situation happened, which led to all of what we've been seeing, they literally voted the city council in Minneapolis to get rid of the, not just defund, get rid of the police officers. And what's interesting about that is those city councilors who are voting to get rid of the police officers, many of them, they have their own security. They have their own private security. And we've seen that with some celebrities as well who are voting to defund police, get rid of police. Most of these people who you see that are famous, that are doing this, they have their own private security because they're so rich. And I think that's... I think that's a joke. I mean, if you're voting to defund and get rid of police, you shouldn't have your own private security. You should, if you're going to say, okay, I vote to get rid of police and defund police, you should be able to walk the streets on your own without private security.
See, the thing is, the police officers, based on what they're saying, the whole system is corrupt. So, but if you hire your own private security, it's most likely that the private security, they have their own interest that isn't based off systemic racism.
Yeah, they have their own interest getting paid by you. Exactly. That's their getting paid. That's their whole interest. And look, are there a few bad cops out there? Yeah, we've said this 100 times on the show. Most cops do the right thing. Most cops are good. There's a few bad people in every profession out there, and I wish we could get rid of every bad police officer. But most cops, I've said this 100 times, most cops are good. If you don't resist arrest, you'll have your day in court. Are there still a few bad cops out there? Yeah. Would it be great to get rid of all the bad cops? Absolutely. But most cops are good. It's just these people you see defunding police. And when I saw a case of baseball bats were dropped off, and they picking up the baseball bats and beating the New York cops with them the other day.
So the New York cops who were being beaten by the bats didn't use their PR-24, their pepper spray, their riot. They didn't. They just let themselves get beat without trying to defend themselves.
Well, no, they defended themselves, but with
because they
didn't
just
shoot anybody, or they didn't
right.
use anything
so
like that.
That took a lot of restraint, because if you're using a baseball bat to beat up the cop, that's clearly justification to use deadly force. So
yeah, well, I never thought I'd see just civilians, American people, beating up uniformed police officers, and it was on video, and then someone dropped off a case of bats. Incredible. Coming up on the show, boy, when you thought it couldn't get any worse for the Washington Redskins, well, whatever they're called now, they still don't have a name. They're not going to be the Redskins anymore. But the name was just scratching the surface when it came to the problems. The owner may be kicked out of the league. It happened in the NBA. They made an owner sell his team. Remember Donald Sterling in the Los Angeles Clippers? Daniel Snyder may be forced to sell his NFL team. We'll explain why coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Jimi Hendrix. And there's been pictures over the internet going around recently of a really cool Jimi Hendrix statue in Seattle, where he's from, that was defaced. There was blue paint all over it, and people are passing around the Jimi Hendrix pictures of that statue on the internet, saying, "Hey, they're even taking down. They're even going after the Jimi Hendrix statue because the way statues are being taken down all over the country." The problem with that is, though, that happened 7 years ago. That didn't happen in this statue takedown time that we're going through right now. That was back in 2013. Just a couple of guys got drunk and they spray painted blue spray paint over the very cool Jimi Hendrix statue in Seattle, which is still there. But that was 7 years ago. So you got to be careful when you see things on the internet. People are saying, "What did Jimi Hendrix do?" Again, that was a long time ago. That happened. Just a couple of drunk idiots. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And St. Tammany Parish has joined Jefferson Parish when it comes to the school year, the upcoming school year. They're giving parents the option. If you want to send your kid to school, you can do that. But if you're worried, if you're afraid, if you're scared to send your kid to school because of the whole coronavirus situation, they are now making virtual learning online available. You will have the option to keep your kid home, and they can go to school over the internet. This is becoming political too, just like everything else. Whether schools should reopen, there's a lot of teachers that are scared. They said a lot of teachers are resigning, and a lot of teachers are, for the first time in their lives, making out their wills. If they're going to go back to school this fall. Because teachers, a lot of them are worried about the coronavirus, but so St. Tammany Parish has joined Jefferson Parish. And if you're a parent in either of those parishes and if you have any trepidation about sending your kid to school, if you're worried at all about the coronavirus, you'll have the option to keep your kid at home, and they can learn online.
It's kind of funny, you know, think about the job that teachers have, and most of them are tough. You know, that's a tough endeavor. But for so many teachers to finally be like, yeah, I think now I'm going to start writing my will. Like, that fear of the coronavirus, it makes me wonder what kind of life experience they had before that didn't motivate them to, like, maybe I should get my will and trust together now. But it took this to finally do it. Like, oh, let me get on it. It's just ironic how that works.
Well, they're thinking if they go into a classroom and even though kids, for the most part, aren't dying of coronavirus, they could still have it. They could still spread it. And then the teacher, if the teacher's older, or the teacher might have some health problems, that kind of thing. But if you're listening right now, and you're a parent, and you have a child who's in the public school system in either Jefferson Parish or St. Tammany Parish, we're still about a month away from school starting here. Are you worried about sending your kid to school? Is keeping them home and doing the virtual online education, is that something that you're going to do? You could text us at 504-260-9595. And again, there are experts, quote unquote experts, that are on both sides of this argument. There are many who are saying, look, it's best for kids to be in school. Now, I've always thought if you're a parent of a school-age kid and you wanted to homeschool your kid, if you thought that was best for your child, that's your prerogative. There are many experts who say the best place for students, for kids to be, is in school, the whole social aspect to it. What are you going to do, though? With and look, let's face the facts. coronavirus is going to be here for the rest of this year. Coronavirus is going to be here next year. Are you worried about sending your kid to school because of that? Or you're not? Text us and let us know. Are you going to choose to send your kid to school next month when school gets going again? Or are you going to choose to take advantage of what Jefferson Parish and what St. Tammany Parish are doing, giving you the option of keeping your kid home, and they can, they'll have everything set up virtually online, and your kid could get their education, or they can get their learning through their virtual online stay-at-home program. Text us. Let us know what you're doing with your kid. 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep your text short and sweet. And if it's good, we'll read it on the show. Then put either your first name or your initials at the end of your text. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know, it's interesting. Motley Crue, that's the most successful album and song, Dr. Feelgood, that they ever had. And what's the most success you ever had as a band? Well, our song about a drug dealer. Yeah, that went to the top of the charts. Simpler time in life, I guess, huh? We asked you, what are you going to do next month if you're a parent in either Jefferson Parish or St. Tammany Parish? Because both of those school systems now have given you the option. You could either send your kid back to school, or they've given the option to virtually learn at home. You can keep your child at home, and they can do all their schoolwork virtually. And both, again, Jefferson Parish and St. Tammany Parish have given parents the option. And I'm asking you, are you going to send your kid to school? Or are you freaking out like some other people and saying, oh, because of coronavirus, I'm going to keep my kid home? We asked you to text us. Coleman, what do we got?
Denise D. says, I'm a nurse. I cannot homeschool my son. These kids need socialization and structure.
So a nurse is going to send her child mm-hmm. back to school. Interesting.
This texter says, I have the COVID privilege to keep my teenagers home. I have kids in Jefferson Parish Public School System and St. Tammany Parish Public School System. Neither school system has a clear plan on what to do when someone has been exposed at school. So they can experiment with other people's children. We'll stay at home until they work out the kinks.
A lot of people feel that way. I mean, there's going to be protocols in all of these schools. The kids are going to have to wear masks. There's going to be hand sanitizer up the yin-yang everywhere. They're going to be taking kids' temperatures, and if the kids' temperature is a bit high, they're going to have to go into another part of the school, another room. And the school systems are still working out mm-hmm. all of the protocol that they're going to use. There are arguments, strong arguments on both sides of this. And
I just feel bad for the kids that think they're not going to school. The mom is telling them, yeah, we're not going back to school. They still have to work out this COVID thing. And they're like, yeah, more summer days, more free time. They're like, but no, you have to sit in front of the screen and do virtual school. And it's like, oh.
Well, that's one other thing that came out of this, Coleman. Whether you have a no school day here for whatever reason, a storm, flooding, whatever the case may be, school systems now are going to go to the virtual learning. You're not going to have a day off. They're going to expect you, if you don't go to school because of a storm or something, they're going to expect the kid to be at home in front of the computer learning that way.
Oh, even if the Wi-Fi goes out. Okay.
Well, now you're going to have a whole different argument there. Yeah, these are new things that we're all that are all in our faces now. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I got to get to this story real quick, because the Washington Redskins or whatever they're called, they don't have a name right now. Their name controversy was only scratching the surface after what broke yesterday. They may take the football team away from, they may make the owner sell his team. Coleman, you got one more text that, because we had just been talking about how St. Tammany Parish has joined Jefferson Parish in giving parents the option to either send their kids to school this fall with new protocols with coronavirus, or if they're worried about that, they can learn at home with virtual learning, keep your kid at home. I asked you what you're going to do, and we've gotten a bunch of texts on both sides. A bunch of people saying, hey, I'm sending my kids to school. It's the best thing for the kids, the social situation. And there are other kids, parents that are saying, well, I'm keeping my kids at home. And I know, Coleman, you just saw one that you enjoyed.
Yeah, from Foster. He says, not sending my daughter to school needlessly. You know, ignorant parents will send their crusty-ass kids to school when they're sick.
Oh, there you go. See, there's a legitimate argument on both sides of that coin. So,
at least they have the choice, though. Nobody's mandating that the kids go to school or stay home. That's the beauty of the whole situation.
Yeah, leave it up to the parents.
Yep.
And then that's pretty cool. So, yesterday, late in the afternoon, a story came out about the Washington football team, the Washington Redskins, although the other day they made news by saying we're not going to be called the Redskins anymore. We're going to have a name at a future date. Evidently, the name that they want has been trademarked by a guy up there in Virginia. There's a guy for the last several years who's been trademarking all kinds of names because he saw this coming. He saw the writing on the wall and the Redskins name was going to be dropped at some point. So this guy went out and he spent some money trademarking all kinds of different names. And evidently one of the names that he trademarked is one of the names that I think they want the Warriors. I think they want Washington Warriors. But they're going to have to pay this guy. Now, a lot of people are looking at him like he's a total bleep hole. And then there are other people looking at him like, hey, pretty smart businessman. But that story in Washington Redskins news, or the team formerly known as the Washington Redskins, that is just going on the back burner because late in the afternoon yesterday, the Washington Post newspaper just ran a huge piece saying that there are at least 15 different women who are claiming that they have been sexually harassed. And these women worked for the Washington Redskins. They are claiming that from the year 2013 right up until last year, 2019, this is 15 different women, that the workplace, the offices of the Washington Redskins, they had several guys, men, who were in the front office. And actually one who was the voice of the Washington Redskins for the last 15 or 20 years, the guy who did the radio calls of the Washington Redskins, they said that these guys were flat out pigs, and their workplace on a daily basis was ripe with sexual harassment towards women. And as a matter of fact, the radio play-by-play guy surprised a lot of people the other day when he just said, I'm resigning, I quit. And this was before this came out. He obviously knew this was coming down the pike. And he actually just quit, and people didn't know why he quit. Well, now we know he was named by some of the 15 women who say former employees, the women and some of these guys are all former employees, because the Redskins earlier this week fired two of these front office guys as well. So obviously the organization and people within the organization knew that this was coming. They say it was just an awful situation on a daily basis. These women would cry 3, 4, 5 days a week. And some of these women, it was their dream to get a job working with an NFL team in the front office, but their dream soon turned into a nightmare. And they were afraid to speak. As a matter of fact, only one of these women that the Washington Post reported on yesterday, only one of them gave her name. The other 14 were afraid of retribution, and so they did it anonymously. But they said it was hell working there. If you were a woman, especially if you were an attractive woman, they said it was hell working there.
Now the timing of this news, the timing of this release makes me wonder how often does this happen at other NFL ball clubs, but is being released now with the Washington Redskins because they're at a vulnerable point now where they're losing their money, they're losing their power. So now the women are becoming more brave and taking advantage of this opportunity to finally say, look, this has been going on. I was afraid to say something. This doesn't seem like it's isolated to just this one ball club. This seems like this is something that could happen in most sports. It's just that now with the Washington Redskins and where they're at in this point in history, this is the perfect time for the women to finally come out and feel protected to say, look, this has been going on all this time.
Well, Coleman, we've seen in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is different than that because with Weinstein, and then we've seen other people go down after that in the wake of Harvey Weinstein and the rise of the hashtag MeToo movement, hashtag Time's Up movement. We've seen a lot of guys go down for sexual harassment, sexual assault. No, none of these women are saying they were sexually assaulted, but they were all saying they were sexually harassed on a regular basis. So there's a difference between the two, but still, in any professional workplace in America in the year 2020, you know, women should not be sexually harassed because how they look or be told to wear certain things, skimpier outfits to work. And that's what they're saying happened here. Now, this could be a perfect opportunity for the NFL to rid itself of the worst owner in professional sports. The NFL, Roger Goodell has said, you know, in the wake of the Ray Rice situation mm-hmm. and other situations with players in the NFL, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, has said that they are going to make the NFL a safe place for women who are associated either with NFL players or work in the NFL in offices with teams. And this is an example right here. If they're saying that this was going on regularly from 2013, from 2013, right up until last year, 2019, if this was going on regularly with this organization, Roger Goodell could do what he did, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, Richardson, was kind of forced to sell his team. They said he was a dirty old man and a sexual harasser. And this kind of thing happened all the time with the Carolina Panthers. And he sold his team recently. Matter of fact, he had a statue outside that stadium and they took that statue down.
Now, the owner himself of the Redskins wasn't part of the allegations. It was just the people around him, correct? Like, none of the women actually accused the owner himself.
Daniel Snyder hasn't been accused, but they said the people in his closest of close circles are going down for this. And so they're saying he had to know about this.
Okay.
And if he's literally the worst owner in the NFL, which he is, and he's right up there at the top of the list as the worst owners in professional sports. He's right there with the Silver Spoon kid who owns the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers up there in New York, James Dolan. I mean, that guy, boy, fans of those two teams would wish somebody would force him to sell because, again, these guys' teams are never competitive. They hire all the wrong people. They do all the wrong things. And if you remember what happened recently in the NBA, where the Los Angeles Clippers former owner,
Sterling.
Donald Sterling, was seen and heard on audio and video recordings making blatantly racist statements, he was forced to sell the team. Do you think that now Roger Goodell, I think he has no choice. He's going to have to make Daniel Snyder sell the Washington Redskins. I mean, you can't give Redskins tickets away. You could go stand in a parking lot of the stadium up there on a Sunday and try to give tickets away. Their stadium is only half filled at tops, and the people that fill the stadium or that half fill the stadium are usually teams, fans of the teams that they're playing. That's how bad it's gotten for the Washington Redskins, a once proud organization. They've won, what, three Super Bowls? A once proud organization, but this is what they are now, and it looks like Daniel Snyder is going to be forced to sell the team. Look, he's going to probably fight this big time. Look how long he fought to change the name Redskins. And now he was forced to change it because the money is all going away. When you've got Nike who said they refuse to stock Washington Redskins gear. If you've got Amazon who says they refuse to deliver Washington Redskins gear. If you've got FedEx, who the stadium is named after them, up and Pepsi and other major corporations pulling all their money from him, he had no choice. He had to change the name of the Washington Redskins. All the money's drying up. Now it looks like he's going to be forced to sell this team. And for Washington Redskins fans, I think that could be the best thing that could happen because they have never been competitive with this loser as an owner. And now we're finding out all of this stuff. Just a wild time in the NFL. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Which state in the United States of America do you think drinks the most alcohol?
The state?
Well, the people in...
The entire state, not just the city, right?
Yeah, not just the city, the state. I've got a list in front of me here, and this surprised me.
If I would have to guess, I would say something like Alabama, Oklahoma.
You're wrong. Not even close.
Wow.
Not even close, Coleman. Now, I was thinking, of course, because I live here in New Orleans, I'm thinking, and I see what goes on around me in this city, I'm thinking Louisiana would have to be right at the top of the list.
No, but it's just New Orleans. The rest of Louisiana doesn't do like New Orleans does. That's why I didn't think it was Louisiana.
You're right. This surprised me, but I have a list in front of me here. And according to a study from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, well, that must be someplace to work. They broke it down. They states 1 through 50, and actually 51, they even included Washington, D.C., which is, and by the way, Washington, D.C. is way at the top.
But just out of curiosity, before you do the top, what's number 51? Let's start off small and see what number 51 is.
Utah.
That makes sense.
A bunch of Mormons and...
Yeah.
Utah's number 51.
Okay, what's number 25?
We'll get to that momentarily. All right. Let me just break this down for you. Okay. Again, this study came from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, or the NIAAA. They say, now they have statistics, this is for the calendar year for 2018.
Okay.
From January 1st to December 31st, 2018. Americans drank 7.8 billion gallons of alcohol in the year 2018. That breaks down to 6.3 billion gallons of beer, 900 million gallons of wine. Where's Kat?
Blah, 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 blah.
And 570 million gallons of hard liquor and spirits.
Hey.
Per capita, that breaks down to 2.35 gallons per person. Or about 501 drinks annually.
I can see that.
Now, I know, look, I used to drink a lot more, and I've always been a beer drinker. And I used to drink a lot more beer than I do these days. I still enjoy a few cold ones, a few beers on the weekends. But I don't drink nearly as much as I used to, or I don't drink nearly as much, I don't think, as you do, Coleman.
I know very few people that drink as much as I do.
Where do you think Louisiana finished?
See, when I consider it's just New Orleans that's heavy with the liquor, I would have to say Louisiana's probably 17, something, somewhere on that area.
You're very, very, very close. Louisiana finished 19.
Okay, so I was two states off.
You would have to assume we would be number one if they counted the tourists on Bourbon Street. But no, they don't count that. Louisiana as a state came in number 19. And most of the southern states,
mm-hmm,
they're in the 40s. That surprised me.
Because I'm thinking about moonshine distilleries and how, you know, our culture of wine and spirits and vodkas and distilleries, breweries.
Yeah, I told you Utah was number 51. This surprised me too. West Virginia was number 50. That's one of the poorest states. I figure those people would be drunk a lot.
Well, if they're poor, they can't afford it.
Arkansas, number 49. Oklahoma, you said, number 48.
Oh, I was way off.
Georgia, 47. Kentucky, 45. Alabama, 44. So most of the southern states, when it came to drinking booze, and again, this is all per capita, they were high up on the list. Louisiana, number 19. Here's the top five. And again, this was surprising to me. I'll even go top seven. Vermont was number seven. Now again, this is per capita.
Okay. All right.
This is per capita, much like they talk about coronavirus cases per capita. Obviously, New York and California, they're the biggest, but they have the most people in Texas. But we're talking about per capita. Vermont was number seven. That surprised me. Montana, number six. North Dakota, number five. These are the states where people live. The people that live in these states drink the most. Nevada, number four. That makes sense to me, although, because everybody's drunk in Las Vegas. But again, Las Vegas is much like New Orleans. A lot of people fly in there, tourists, and they get hammered. But still, overall, Nevada came in number fourth. Came in number four. Here's the top three. Delaware. I mean, that's the smallest state, but
I'm starting to see a pattern here. Okay. What's the top two? Let's see, make sure my theory is correct.
Number two is Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And I could figure, you know, all of the politicians, so many of them, the federal politicians live there, and so they live there, so that their consumption counts. And the state that drinks the most, the people that live in that state who drink the most, right next to Vermont, New Hampshire.
I figured out the pattern.
Well, live free or die. That's their motto up there. And
here's what it is. All the top seven are probably the lowest populated states. Therefore, since it's per capita, it just seems like they drink more per capita when it's really just they just have less of a population. When you consider New York.
I don't know if that's how that works, Coleman.
It seems like it because they have Nevada, that's like a desert, and Oklahoma, Vermont. It's like they're not really populated areas. So if you say like 7 out of 10 people drink, that's because they only have 10 people in this town. So
going by your theory then, no, Oklahoma wouldn't be number 48 then. Okay. And then you wouldn't have Vermont, Delaware, and New Hampshire all in the top 5 or 7.
Okay, well, where's New York and California?
They're in the middle of the road.
Okay.
Actually, they're right in the middle of the road. I was surprised, again, when it came to the southern states, how they're all up in the 40s. I mean, even Mississippi, 35, South Carolina, 30, North Carolina, 35, Mississippi, 36. I wouldn't have thought that. Now, Texas, being a huge state, they came in number 30, tied for 30th.
In Alaska?
Alaska's in the middle of the road. But it's interesting, both California and New York are ahead of, no, they're in the middle of the road. That's Alaska's number 11. You just ask about Alaska.
See, it's not that populated. You know, Juneau, Anchorage, they're not really populated places. That's what it seems like to me.
Well, I just found that list fascinating.
Louisiana, we have to try harder, man. Next year, we'll get them.
And there are many people saying, thank God for alcohol during the coronavirus situation. But that's according to a study from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism for the year 2018. Hey, coming up on the show, we've got the dumbest thing I read all week since today's Friday here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So we're 6 days away from the first base that counts this year in their abbreviated 60-game schedule. We're 6 days away from that. Thursday night, that starts. And then not long after that, about a week after that, 13 days from now, on July 30th, the NBA restarts their season. And I'm a big sports fan, and having nothing to watch basically for the last several months totally sucked. And the Pelicans actually have a chance. And what's interesting is the NBA went out of their way to make the Pelicans, to put them in the spotlight, all because of one person, Zion Williamson. And the Pelicans are the first game that they're playing when the NBA restarts their season on July 30th, and they are focusing on the Pelicans, the NBA are, all because of Zion Williamson. And Zion Williamson yesterday left the bubble in Orlando, Florida, because he had a family medical emergency he had to go to. There's nothing wrong with him, but something happened with somebody in his family. I hope they're okay, and I hope he gets back as soon as possible. He's going to have to be quarantined as soon as he comes back, but because they're participating in the restart of the NBA season, it's all in a big bubble to protect everybody from coronavirus. But obviously we hope Zion Williamson comes back as soon as possible. I just can't wait for that, though, as a sports fan. It's been so long since I was able to just sit on my couch and enjoy a game. And that's coming very soon. And we wish everyone in Zion's family the best. And I hope Zion Williams. That's how big he is in the NBA. Even though he just turned 20 years old and he's only a rookie and he missed more than half the season with an injury. But ever since he's come back, he's that good that the NBA, they're focusing on him, ESPN, because they want to show him, because they know that's what they want their fans to see. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all week here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all week. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at this time, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And then on Friday, I got to figure out the dumbest thing I read all week. And sometimes it's a story that we covered earlier this week. Sometimes it's not. It all depends how dumb the week was. But what I've got here is a story we did earlier this week. And I can't believe that this woman is doing this. It's the California Karen whose video recording and then posting it on social media backfired on her. Remember we told you about Amber Gillies?
I'm the one who's sick.
She went into a Starbucks in San Diego, California recently, and the young employee who was working behind the counter told her she had to wear a mask because his bosses told him, make sure you tell the customers they have to wear a mask when they're in here. She was not happy about being told to wear a mask. She said she was sick and that wearing a mask would make her sicker. And then she went on a rant. And then she took out her video recorder, her phone, her cell phone, and she pushed record and started video recording him while she was ripping him a new one. And then she posted it on her social media thinking that everybody was going to have sympathy for her. The problem was that backfired. Most people had sympathy for the poor kid she was yelling at. And then a GoFundMe was set up by someone who watched the video for the kid that worked at Starbucks. That GoFundMe raised over $105,000. Here's the dumbest part of this dumb story. She now is suing to get half of that money that was raised for the young Starbucks employee through
Amber
the GoFundMe.
Amber Gillis says she posted this photo of barista Lennon Gutierrez after he asked her to wear a mask at Starbucks. The caption reads, "Meet Lennon from Starbucks who refused to serve me because I'm not wearing a mask. Next time I will wait for cops and bring a medical exemption." That post exploded online. Then a GoFundMe for tip money for the barista surpassed $100,000. Gillis says she has medical problems but also says masks are not effective.
One of them, I get shortness of breath, dizziness, and it messes with the heartbeat. And I do have asthma as well. So I do have, and I do get maskne. So there's several things going on. And not only that, it doesn't even work. It was discrimination and everybody's okay with it and enabling and rewarding that kind of behavior.
And she says she wants half of the more than $100,000 donated, which was given to the barista in cash last week.
I don't care if he gave it to Lennon. I'm going to sue him for half of it.
When asked if she has any apology or message to the public.
No, absolutely not. I feel like I need the apology. I've been discriminated against. I'm the one who's sick.
Wow.
I agree with the last part of her phrase. She is
the
one
who's sick. But because she took the picture or the video and then put it on social media and then it went viral, she thought that people were going to feel bad for her. But no, everybody felt bad for the Starbucks worker. Set up a GoFundMe. Over $105,000. Now she is suing to get half of that money.
I'm the one who's sick.
Because she's thinking, well, it's my picture, my social media. You know, I'm the one who did this. Dude, I can't imagine a judge, a juror, a jury, any human being giving her one nickel.
The audacity.
That's a California Karen. That's what they were calling her. The California Karen. She feels entitled. That's why Karens are called Karens, because they feel entitled, that they're superior and they deserve things that, well.
At least she's being nice and only wants half instead of the whole.
Yeah, no, I think that the kid that worked at Starbucks, Lennon Gutierrez, I think he deserves all of that money.
Yeah, of course.
And so this whole story was ridiculous. You know how so many people in this country and so many people, I don't know if it's like this in other countries, but there are so many people, Coleman, that love being the victim. They love, and she gave you everything that's wrong with her, all the reasons why she can't put on a mask.
I'm the one who's sick.
And look, nobody likes wearing masks right now. It sucks.
Yes, it does.
But to yell at that kid who works there, who was just taking orders from his bosses, and then to put him on social media to try to make him feel bad. And now you're trying to get his money?
And then said, next time I'm just going to call the police next time he doesn't serve me. Like, just like, why? Why?
Karen. It's because she's a Karen. She is the definition of a Karen, old Amber Gillis in San Diego, California is. And her trying to get half of the money that was raised for this poor worker who she berated in a GoFundMe, that's the dumbest thing I read all week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I don't care how attractive she is. How would you like to be married to that woman and have to listen when she gets in a bad mood, which is probably on a fairly regular basis? How would you have to like to listen to that morning, noon, and night? Oh, my God. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Hey, if you want to see that list, And it's a really cool list. Which states in the United States of America drink the most? The people in which states? It was surprising. We were talking about it about an hour ago. I've got the list for you. It's ranked 1 through 50. It's actually ranked 1 through 51. It's got Washington, D.C. on there as well. It's on our website at Bayou957.com. I was surprised, and that's why we were talking about it. A couple of people said, hey, where can I find that list? It's on our website. Go check it out at Bayou957.com. It's our commercial free ride. We're in it right now here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.